message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Lord, right now, release myself to the influence of the Holy Spirit, and I ask that my mouth will be like the pen of an anointed writer. Be glorified, Lord. Your word will not fall to the ground. You will not alter the thing that has come out of your mouth. I declare, oh God, that we are not just being entertained. We are not just hearers of the word, but that we are being changed as we listen, as we come every Sunday. I thank you because you are giving us the boldness to have a mind change and to go out there and be soul winners in the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come indeed. Acts chapter 8. Verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. That is what just happened before we came to verse 1. He was consenting to his death. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. So everybody was scattered, but the apostles remained in the main church in Jerusalem to keep things going, to keep giving directions. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Let's read verse 8 together. And there was great joy in that city. Amen. There will be great joy in Bwari. There will be great joy in Gwagwalada, in Lugbe too. There will be great joy in Idu. There will be great joy in Masaka. There will be great joy in Pape. There will be great joy in Suleja, in Orozo. There will be great joy because Family Worship Center is going there in the name of Jesus. My topic, one more scripture before I go on. John chapter 15, verse 16. I'm preaching from these two scriptures, actually, so we have to see them. Verse 16 said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you see? Is that what you read in your Bible? Okay, praise God. So our topic today is, he pays well. He pays well. Praise the Lord. I'm just thanking God because he's helping me with my YouTube topics so that the people will say, who is paying what? They will think it is Bill Gates and all. And then they will open and here is Jesus. You know what they do in YouTube? They will say this, and then you open it, you won't find the thing. But this one, you will open it and find the thing. Amen? So soul winning occupies the core of God's agenda. I've said that over and over. Soul winning occupies the core of God's agenda for mankind. And being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what is on his mind is his kingdom. What is on my mind every time is Family Ministries and Family Worship Center. You cannot catch me not thinking about this work because this is my jurisdiction. This is what God has given me to do. And what is on God's mind all the time is his kingdom. Praise the Lord. His kingdom is always on his mind. That was why Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. Jesus said for us to pray like this. So every day we should pray that God's kingdom will come because God's kingdom is important to him. God's desire is that his rulership comes to the hearts of all his creation. The Bible says he does not desire that anyone should perish. Say amen. Amen. So soul winning is the most important business of God. And he is willing to pay any amount. Say, Pastor, how far? God, soul winning is God's number one and only business on earth. And he is willing to pay anything. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 15, verse 16, he says, He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that you should go. I want you to circle the word go there. Circle it in your Bible, go, because that is the operative word. That you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So in an employment, you get a letter, you get a job description, and you get a pay package. True or false? Answer me. In every organization, when you get an employment, isn't it? And then you get a job description so that you know what you are employed to do. And then you get a pay package. Hallelujah. So look at this verse carefully. Look at that verse in your Bible. 15 verse 16. He chose and appointed you. That is your employment later. Can we say that? That he chose and appointed you. If there's an interview, don't they choose and select some people? And then they give them an appointment letter. So God has chosen and appointed us. We have an appointment letter. Keep that verse reading. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you. So amongst many people, you have been chosen and appointed. This is the job description. That you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Is it fair to say that? That's the job description we have. So we have an appointment letter, and we have a job description. And then the last part, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That's the pay package. That's the pay package. Does that make sense to you? Does it? I'm not preaching from anywhere. This is a revelation from God. You know, I read that bishop's book, and things just start popping up in my spirit. But this is the truth. You have an appointment letter, you have a job description, and the pay package is good. Hallelujah. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And that's why I said he pays well. He pays very well. So, I want you from today to begin to see yourself as hired and working for the biggest and most prestigious organization on earth. So this work, evangelism is not charity. It is not just volunteer work where you just work and nothing happens. Evangelism is serious employment, that you are employed by the most important organization. You know, if somebody gets a job today in the UN, we celebrate, isn't it? You get a job in the Bill Gates Foundation, we celebrate, because the Gates Foundation actually sponsors the UN. It sponsors the World Health Organization. So when you get jobs, a job in those kinds of places, you are happy. People are happy for you because the pay package is amazing. And even more than that, in Bill Gates Foundation, the pay is not even as big as the privileges. The privileges are incredible. They will do anything for you. The privileges far outweigh. So when you get far outweigh the pay. Sometimes I need to just discipline myself to not jump sentences. But in God's kingdom is bigger than Gates Foundation. It's bigger than UN. It's bigger than anywhere. So to be employed to work for God is an incredible opportunity. It's an incredible employment. So, and you are not working for free. And God is big enough to pay for his hire. You are an employee. I want you to begin to see yourself as an employee in the kingdom of the Most High God. That should energize you. It should motivate you. It should drive you to go all out. Because when you serve God by winning souls, you are among the elite workers in the world. You are among the elite workers in the world. In the military, especially in America, there is what is called the Navy SEALs. You've heard about them, isn't it? They are a special force trained to do amazing and crazy jobs. They are the kinds of people that went to Saddam Hussein's house, picked him, and just buried him. So, they are an elitist group. The most elitist thing to do in the world is to win souls for Jesus. Is to win souls for Christ. Hallelujah. This should drive you. It is the highest and the best department to work in. In the kingdom of God. You know, we used to think that it is worshiping God is the most important thing. Do you remember? We have preached that. I have thought that all my life. But worshiping God is good. But it's not the greatest. It is not the most important thing to God. Can I tell you why? Because angels worship him better. Hey, angels worship him better. The 24 elders fall before him 24 times. So what kind of worship can we give him that is more than that? We that worship God half-hearted, we are worshiping him and watching our telephones. We are worshiping him and worrying about what we have and don't have. Those people don't have anything on their minds. So in worshiping God, the angels and the elders top us. They top us by far. So I have realized that on earth, our biggest assignment is not even worship. It is to win souls. Because angels cannot preach. We are the only ones that can preach. We are the only ones that can preach the gospel. So angels, see, we can preach and we can sing. But we can't do both excellently. We can only do one excellently. And that is evangelism. Because that is the only one angels cannot do. So let the angels do worship. And we will do our imperfect worship. And when angels worship God, they worship him in holiness. They worship him in the best state of mind. They worship him in class and all. But we, you know how our worship is now. Sometimes we feel like singing, sometimes we don't feel like singing. And am I telling the truth? Don't we come here sometimes and our minds are so troubled and you can't even open your mouth. And there are times, even in your personal devotions, you can't sing. Am I the only unbeliever here, or there are sometimes you kneel down to do devotion and your heart is just so heavy. You just pray because it's a duty. Am I telling the truth? Angels don't have that. They just sing. 24/7, they are alert. And so the one thing we can do to brigue God, to impress him, not even to sweep God off of his feet. The only thing we can do to impress him, to sweep him, is to evangelize. So it is an elitist thing. Are you people catching this, my drift? In Jeepers of Umbi, are you catching my drift? Hallelujah. So we have to embark on this with all of the energy we have, because it is the most important assignment for God. So here is God's covenant to you as you embark on soul winning. Put up for me Psalm 89 verse 34. Psalm 89 verse 34 says, "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips or my mouth, nor alter the words. So God will not say something and clean it. When God says something, he does it. So if God says, whatever you ask, I will do it, will he alter that? The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. So if God has said he's going to, whatever you ask, he will give you, he will do it. True or false? True or false? So you just need to go out there and do it. Now, I can tell you by the example of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ knew the importance of evangelism and this work of uniting man to God, that was what he did every day of his life. Every day. And in doing that, hear what Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 41b and 42a. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me." And that was why when he went to Lazarus' grave, he spoke and Lazarus came out. It was a covenant between them. So those of you who say, "I have made a covenant with God that I will marry this year. I have made a covenant with God that my children will do this and that." No, that is not the covenant. The covenant is this evangelism. You do this evangelism, all these other things will be added. Is that not what the Bible says? When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. That is the covenant. And God says, if you do that, I will not break my covenant. I want to dare you and challenge you to go out there and begin to get people saved and see if you will have a need in your life. I literally challenge you. Go and win souls every day and see if there is any need in your life. Let me see where barrenness or marriageless, not marrying and all of that will come. Because when you do God's work, he will not fail. So maybe the last thing you should try after everything is to try evangelism, try winning souls and see. Because at that point, the Bible says, "My covenant will I not break, nor will I alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth." Somebody say amen. Amen. I want you to know that when God pays, he pays 100-fold. And 100-fold is 100 times. He will do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. So he pays 100-fold. And the Bible says in the life to come, eternal life. So he will pay you here on earth, and then in the life to come, eternal life. So one way to expand the kingdom of God is one-on-one. And that one counts a lot. It counts a lot. And I want you to put in your mind, the word is go. 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 Go and make disciples. Go. Go. Amen? Now, another way to expand the kingdom of God is through church planting. And that is why I read for you where we read in Acts. That the disciples got together. It's where we always read. Let me just read one of them. They got born again and they started enjoying church. The Bible says, and they were, let me read Acts chapter 2 verse 42. It's our care group place. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done in the through the apostles. Now all who believe we are together and had things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among themselves as anyone had need. It was all about themselves, isn't it? So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house and eating their food and gladness and simplicity, praising God, and many were added daily to the church. So they got to that point where they were just enjoying fellowship. They were just enjoying one another. The same thing happened in chapter 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was their own, but they all had things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of land and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and led them at the apostles' feet, and they were distributed to each as everyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money to the and laid it at the apostles' feet. So these people were just used to fellowship. They were just used to love. They were just used to having a good time, their needs met. And when God saw that they were missing the mandate, he allowed for persecution to come in chapter 8. Did you see it where we read? Let's go to chapter 8. Now Saul was consenting to his death. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was in Jerusalem. So, and they were scattered throughout the region of Judea, except the apostles. And then, as they were scattered, they now took the gospel out. They took the gospel out. Are you following me? So, where am I? The mandate was to go and preach, but they got used to being together until persecution arose. And it was in this persecution and them being scattered that the gospel left Jerusalem to the other parts. So what the writer of Acts now does is to single out one of these apostles, Philip, and talk about him to show us the impact of one apostle. So imagine the whole lot of them. At that point, there were over 120 as of the day of Pentecost. So this is just what one of them did. He went to Samaria, he obeyed and took the gospel to Samaria. And the Bible says a multitude listened to him. And with one accord they believed and they were saved. And as they were saved, there were signs and wonders and all. And then the city became happy. So what is going to save Nigeria is not government, it's the gospel. The gospel is the hope of the world. The gospel is what will give the poor person hope. The gospel is what will give the poor person joy. The gospel is what will help the poor person to have hope. And so we have an obligation or a duty to take the gospel out so that there will be hope in the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Philip went there and he preached and they got saved. And there was change. One person, a whole city. One person, a whole city. But the point was that they had to go. If they did not go, nothing would happen. If Philip did not leave that Jerusalem, would he have known that one city, one whole city, could be changed? He wouldn't have known. He wouldn't have known that through him, wonders could be done. This same Philip, by the Holy Spirit, is doing his business, and then God leads him to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was a high official in Candace's Queen Candace's government. He was a very influential person in Ethiopia. And he went to Jerusalem to worship in one of the temples and was coming back and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip joined to him. God led him and Philip joined to him. Philip preached to him, explained what the man was reading, because he was reading what he didn't understand. Because there are so many people where, in all these places, Buhari, Suleja and all, who are just chanting things, reading things, going up and down, thinking they are serving God, but they don't know. In fact, in one of the places, remember in Acts, there is a sign to the unknown God. And Paul went there and said, I came to tell you about the unknown God. And so we have a responsibility to go and teach people. You go on the outskirts and you will see the ignorance, the desperation in the faces of the people. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, we remove that ignorance and give them hope. And so he went, joined the man and preached to him, explained what the man was reading. And then the man got saved and he baptized him and disappeared. Talking about God pays well. Assuming Peter did not disappear. Philip did not disappear. After preaching to the man, he just stayed. Can you imagine what the man would have given him? Let's be real. I want you to know that in preaching the gospel, there are benefits. Physical benefits. And so Philip disappeared. I want you to know that in you sitting, listening to me this morning, is the salvation of a multitude. Is the breakthrough of a multitude. Is the understanding of a multitude. Is the baptism of a multitude. But as long as you sit and don't go, you will never know. As long as you are seated here and comfortable here, you will never know. And so the time has come for us to go out there and expand the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. So this man now, Philip preaches to this man. The records have it that he went to the regions of Ethiopia, the Ethiopian eunuch. He went to the regions of Ethiopia to preach what he himself had believed and accepted as a result of one man. So you tell one and then he tells another and before you know it, it spreads. That is how us in Africa heard. Because some people made the sacrifice to travel from wherever and come and tell us about Jesus. We would have been somewhere now chatting some animist rituals or doing some juju things and all in the quest for God. Because man must always look for God. Every man is looking for God. Even the atheist is looking for God. That is why he believes there is no God. Did you hear that? Because God is a problem to him. So everybody is looking for God, but somebody must take it to them. Amen? Amen? I want you to know that there is no telling to what impact you can make or what great miracles and testimonies await you, but you have to go. We are here to carry out the mandate of God, not to play church, not to be together and just keep having a good time. We have read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, that we are ambassadors. How many of you remember hearing that we are ambassadors? Let me say, you've heard me say you are ambassador. Okay, so put up the scriptures because some people didn't raise up their hand, meaning that they didn't hear me. So let them hear me today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 or 19. Let me see. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we are ambassadors. Who is an ambassador? He is sent from his country to represent the interests of that country in another country. Did you hear me? I'm surprised that somebody will come to church in first service and they're already sleeping. I don't understand. It irritates me a lot. It irritates me to the high heavens. Because I'm working so hard to get you to understand the counsel of God. Do you know how many hours it takes to study these things and come to preach? And then you sit in front of me and sleep. Please don't sleep. Please help me. Help me, I beg you. And because when you sleep, you distract me. I can see your sleep over your mask. Ambassadors live to another country. And when they leave to another country, they are on foreign service. Their pay is higher than the people who stay at home. Did you hear me? So when an ambassador goes out, if they are sent to America or England, they are paid in dollars, their children are taken care of and all, they are treated in another level. But when they stay at home, they get civil service pay. They pay them in naira, and there are no privileges, nothing. They live like a civil servant who works in the Ministry of Water Resources or whatever. In fact, that is even a very important ministry. Ministry of Redundancy. By being ambassadors, God is inferring that you are on foreign service. Therefore, your pay will be more than the person who is sitting. So let me tell you what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. If you hear yourself complaining, there is no power in this church, there is not this, there is not that, it's because you are redundant. You are not an ambassador. You are not doing the work of an ambassador. And ambassadors don't complain. They have too much work. So the reason, if you hear yourself dissatisfied, complaining, things are not working, I don't understand, and it's because God has relegated you to redundant status. So there are redundant people sitting here, but the ambassadors are multiplying care groups. Ambassadors are evangelizing. Ambassadors are about the Father's business. And those people, if you check their lives are better than the people who are doing nothing in church. Because why should God invest in you? Why should God invest in you when you are not using it for anything? Yeah, people, there's no power in this church. Really? Why should God give you power? Power is not for church. Power is for the world. So go there and see. If you will not, go out there and gather a few people for a crusade and preach and see if the lame or the blind eyes will not be open. There's just something about a crusade that attracts that kind of power. Because the power is for the people out there. The power is for evangelism. The power, we have already experienced the power of God by being saved. Isn't it? And so we take that power out there. Now some people are saying they do not feel led yet to leave the mother church or their current church. I have never found a baby eagle that felt led to leave the nest. Have you heard of a baby eagle who was so eager to leave the nest? They are never led. And so what does mother eagle do? She removes all the comfort around them and then at first the eagle will almost fall. She'll go and scoops him and brings him back. After a few practices, one day she throws him and doesn't show up. Eagle must fly or else eagle will fall in ocean and die. And so those of you who don't feel led to live yet, you have to go or else you will remain baby Christians and you will not be useful. You will not be independent. You will always be needy. This is the kind of preaching Pastor Ina used to preach. And put a diaper and feeding bottle. Nya, 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 nya. You remember that preaching? I don't have the liver to do it, and it is not my idea. It was Pastor Ina's idea. You put a knocking. Nya, 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 nya. They don't care for me in this church. They are doing anything. After all I have given, nobody even knows me. The other day, I was sick, nobody came. It's baby. It's an eagle that has refused to fly. That's why the Bible says to pray to the Lord of the harvest to thrust out the people. Because we are used to AC. And the AC now is even a problem. Because now you come here and you are blown and you are just sleeping. Baby eagle, just sleeping. So they say, baby eagle, fly out. Go and start it. Just say, no, I don't feel led yet. I like this AC. I like this light. I like this projector. I like the worship team. Nyeh, 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 nyeh. Baby eagle, I don't feel led to leave. You have been given a ministry of reconciliation. You are an ambassador. Reconciling men to go, so you must go. So in engaging in church planting, we are expanding the kingdom of God. And God pays heavily. God pays heavily. Ask every deacon, every pastor in this church, every serious worker. Ask anybody who you see doing well in this church, who is a big leader in this church. Ask them and ask if God has not paid them. Is there anybody here God has paid and paid you more than you deserve? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. It didn't come by not doing anything. By sitting and saying, I don't feel led to leave. I don't feel led. Somebody has said that we is convenient. And so they don't think they can leave yet. Now remember that it is not about convenience we are here. We are not here for convenience. We are here to obey a mandate. We are here to please our master. So this church planting is not about convenience. It's about the Bible. Jesus Christ left convenience to come here. And it is the worst suffering anybody can. It's because we don't have the idea of what heaven is. But Jesus left a lot to come here. So the issue is not an issue of convenience. If you love God, you will go out there and obey the mandate. And the mandate is showing that you love God. He said, and if you love me, feed my lambs. So there are some lambs in Bwari. There are some lambs in Suleja. There are some lambs in Masaka. There are some lambs in Pape. By the way, I saw a documentary, a short clip, that Pape is the biggest slum in Africa. Wow. Wow. Meaning that there is a big opportunity for evangelism there. To go in that slum and preach the gospel until they become millionaires. You know it's possible. You go to that slum until they change, you change the trajectory of their lives and they become big men and women. Because that's what the Bible says is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God for transformation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody said the brand church may not be as lively as the Wuye or the current church. It may not be as lively. Now, always remember that it is not about you. It's not about your entertainment or your pleasure. It's about God and his need for the kingdom to expand. So you go out there and make that church lively. Carry your lively self. Say you are here and you think you are the one making it lively, or it's because pastor is seeing you, that's why she can do that. Carry your beautiful, lively, engendering self to that place and help somebody else to be like, can I tell you something? No matter how small light is, no matter how dim light, no matter how small a candle is, you take it into dense darkness, it lights up the place. So carry your lively self to a place and light it up. Amen? Amen? Go there and light up a place. Praise the Lord. Demonstrate the love of God. Can I tell you what lively is? Lively is just greeting one another. Lively is hugging one another. Lively is bringing a little something in an envelope or a plastic bag and giving somebody. Go there and do that and see if the church will not be lively. Because anytime somebody receives a gift, they will shout. That is lively. They will shout. And in every pastor is the ability to make you laugh. I have never seen a pastor who preaches and people don't laugh. Because it's a gift that comes. It's just that there's no time. If you give any pastor 2 hours, they will make you laugh till you faint, till you fall off your chair. So lively is in you. Take it somewhere and light up somebody's life. Amen? Hallelujah. Go and shine your light. But besides, Wuye is always beaming to the local churches. So this life, quote-unquote lively, comes to the other churches. I've been preaching since January. So we are not disconnecting completely. Somebody said, I prefer Wuye because it is the seat of power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I'm not playing or laughing with you people this morning because this is serious business. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is... But you shall receive what? How many of you have power? Let me see. So the power is not in Wuye. The power is in you. And in you, and in you, and in all of us. And the power... We are more powerful than we know. We all have power. Did Philip know he had that kind of power? But until he went out, he didn't know that he had that power. So go out there and see how powerful you are. Somebody said, we are not ready for change. I'm not ready for change yet. I have never seen anybody who is ready for change. And yet change happens to us every day. Whether you like it or not, if you don't change, things will change and leave you behind. Please listen to me carefully. You are supposed to go to a church. You feel led to go. You are supposed to go to a church and start a new work. You are not going to feel it. You are not. It's a change that if you don't go, you will stay here and you'll be redundant. In a new church, there are more opportunities. more opportunities for people to lead, more opportunities for people to help, more opportunities to be in leadership and all of that. And so you stay here and say, I'm not ready for change. You are not going to grow and you are not going to make an impact. So remember that when you make excuses, you are making them to God, not to the church. The church did not send you to go and reconcile men to God. It is not my idea to send you. I can't send you. You didn't come to Abuja for me to send you. This sending is by God. And when you do not go, you are disobeying God. And may you not fall in that category in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go for God's sake. Let's go for the kingdom's sake. Let's go out and evangelize every day for the kingdom's sake, in your office, everywhere, because you love Jesus. And remember that Jesus left his convenience. Jesus left the greatest seat of power. Jesus left the greatest comfort and convenience to come here. And Jesus left and changed to be here. And because of that, God rewarded him. Put up for me Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, verse 9. Let's read it together. Everybody, please help me read. Therefore, verse 10. Hallelujah. Next. So as I stop this morning, I want you to know that God pays. God pays beautifully. I have been so blessed, and like Monica shared on the all night, I have been so blessed beyond my imagination. I never knew in my life that a plane will be made available to me to carry me alone to anywhere. A plane came to America to carry me and Favor and Cairo, three of us, all the way. The expense, a plane. It came from the gospel. And I know if you look in your life, you will see things God has done for you. That it is not because of where you came from or who you are or who you know, but because you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And you know what? Greater things are ahead of you. Greater blessings are ahead of you. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, or what God has in store for those who believe in him. There are still greater things in my future. Greater things in my future. So as we close, stand on your feet. Let me tell you this story, because I don't want you to miss it. The Saudi Arabia king, wanted to learn how to play golf. And he asked a professional in America to come and teach him how to play golf. I'm talking about how God blesses. And the man came. They sent a jet, and he picked the man and brought him to Saudi. And the man trained the man. I say you should stand up. Why are you sitting down? That's how you won't go for evangelism, because you don't hear anything. Because simple instruction are just to stand is a problem. So if you cannot stand, how can you go? Because when you stand, there is no motion. Go in, you have to exert energy. You understand? If standing is a problem, you see wahala. Anyway, so the guy went and taught him how to play golf, and taught the Saudi king how to play golf. When he was going, the Saudi man said, what can I give the Saudi king? He said, no, I don't want anything. The man said, no, I have to give you. He said, I don't want anything. They back and forth. The man said, you know what? To have experienced what I have experienced, to have left and I came here by the jet. I have been treated like royalty. I've been in this. He said, it's enough for me. The Saudi man said, no. The king said, this is a true story. I have to give you something. So when he saw that he was not going to succeed by not collecting anything, you know what he said? He said, give me a golf club. The stick they used to beat the ball, okay? The man said, it's done. So the plane took him back. On the way back, he was wondering, what kind of golf club will this man give me? Will it be diamond studded? Will it be gold studded? He said, but anyhow, to get anything from the king will be a pleasure. So he went home. 1 week, he would go out and check outside to see if UPS dropped the Gulf. For 1 week, nothing happened. 10 days later or so, he gets a mail. And the mail is from the Saudi king. He said, I didn't ask for a mail. I asked for a golf club. And then he opens the mail and reads it. In that mail was a title deed. And the title deed was for a 55-acre golf course, 18 holes in America. The man, he said, this is my gift to you. For teaching me golf, I've given you this 55 acres of 18 holes of golf. He gave him exceeding a golf course. You know what it means to have 55 acres? That is like 20 hectares of land. Like this place times, five times. This is our whole campus. So we think golf course, but kings think, we think golf club. Kings think golf. You are thinking, I'm going to sit here and be convenient. God is thinking, I wish he knew. I wish they knew. I'm not going. And God is thinking, I wish he knew. I'm just going to sit here and be comfortable. And God said, I wish she knew the kind of house I was planning to build for her. And I know this from a personal experience. There are times I want to do things for people. Like I wanted to buy a house for somebody. Personal. And then the people just trip and I'm like, I wish they knew. You never know what is on the other side of obedience. But it's exceedingly abundantly above all you can imagine. I'm saying this to drive you to the streets. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That no week passes that you have not told somebody about Jesus. And see what he will do for you. Amen? Amen. Close your eyes and ask God to help you to obey him. You pray for yourself. Ask God to help you by yourself. Father, help us to obey you. Help us to go and evangelize. Help us to go and be ambassadors, to be on foreign service so that we can get foreign pay. Lord, we trust you. You said in your word that nobody who has left father, mother, brother, sister, the comfort of their zone and gone out for you, that will not receive in this life, this and this and that, and in the life to come, eternal life. Help us to obey you in Jesus' name. Say a better amen.
Amen.
That amen you said is a fearful amen. You say, ah, Pastor, I like what you said, but this evangelism, I don't know how to do it. You have to do it, or else you will be redundant.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.